You're listening to Real Adventures for BF Goodrich, celebrating 150 years.
Welcome back to Real Adventures for BF Goodrich, celebrating 150 years. It's time for the Social Club. Make sure you download our new Real Adventures app. It's got all our latest podcasts, fishing news, tips and recipes. And if you send in a question and we read it out and award you the winner in our Social Club, you win yourself a new Dometic CFX ice maker fridge freezer. We're giving away 10. I reckon we've given away four so far.
Three or four, I reckon, maybe four. We've got a few left.
Safe to say they've inspired people to shoot in many, many questions. We've got quite a few to go through today. The first one is from Stodge. Hi, guys. Do you know anyone that repairs fish finders? I have an issue with mine. I can't find anyone that works on them. Cheers. This is a bit of a challenging one, Redmond, because obviously it's quite generic in terms of got a bit of an issue, can't find anyone that works on them. Most marine dealerships will be able to point you in the direction of someone. It just depends on how old the unit is, because quite often, if we're talking sort of something that's 5+ years old, the technology moves so quickly that any old sort of setup becomes quite superfluous quite quickly.
It does.
And it
we just spoke about this with video cameras.
Yeah, and it can quite often cost you just as much to
get it repaired.
To repair it than it would be a new unit, particularly for the older models, because technologies move so quickly. If you've got a 7-inch that 5 years ago or 6 years ago,
top of the range,
you paid $1,500 for, you can get the same thing now for half that, sometimes even less. So that's the sort of challenge you've got when you go to repairing fish finders and what's available.
But if your issue is actually on water as such, so you're not getting a pickup on the bottom, or if you're not getting the arches you want for a snapper, for instance, there's different. There's so many different people out there that are offering different services. For example, like
Gwayne Blake
just, yep. So he'll come out on your boat and he knows every unit back to front. Garmin's his expert at, but I can guarantee you that he'll get any other unit, whether it's Simrad, Lowrance, working just as good as what he can get his Garmin. So it's so many different people out there that will do this to help you. Jump on social media and give Gwayne a message.
There's, as you said, whether it's Simrad, Ray Marine, you know, all the mate, Furuno, Garmin, Humminbird. There's experts in all these fields, and there's marine dealerships that specify in selling them, and they'll have the backup service. So you've just got to go to a marine dealership that actually stocks and sells the particular brand you've got issues with, and then they'll be able to point you in the right direction in terms of maintenance or repairs.
Next question is from Brendan Geary. Pat, what are your key tips for sand launching safely and avoiding embarrassment on the beach? Cheers.
Embarrassment's a big one. If you're limited on beach space,
it might be the big one, except when I'm at Aries Inlet getting you coffees, where are you? I'm meant to be there in 10 minutes. Where are you? The tide's coming in. I'm bogged.
Don't embarrass me. That's one time. One time, damn
it. So don't answer this question.
Don't launch with a small amount of beach space on an incoming tide. There's my number one tip.
I can't talk either. I was at Peterborough last year, and I had to get 14 randoms to help me push my car out.
We've all been there.
We'll actually skip this question.
Brendan, we have all been there, mate. Number one, I think you've got to have a really good snatchem strap, because the last thing you want, if you've got plenty of beach space, have a good snatchem strap, and then if push comes to shove, literally you skull drag the boat right away from the water, then you're limiting your risk with having your car bogged and you've got water around it, because that's the last thing that anyone wants. Get yourself a good set of tracks, because if you do have a small amount of beach to work with,
Maxi tracks,
yep. You end up having to drive right up onto the soft sand, and that's where, you know, everyone can get in sort of trouble. But you've really got to be quite efficient. That's the key, I think. But if you get your boat as quickly away from incoming water, skull drag it up. You know, you obviously can't do that with every sort of boat, but if you've got a tinny, then that's certainly what I would recommend. Get it away from the incoming water, and then try and be as efficient as you can with backing the boat onto the trailer and winching it up as quickly as you can.
What about your, I know you've got a few different methods in play. You've changed your winch, your actual winch. It's not your seatbelt material anymore. You've got...
No, it's a proper cable wire. And like for the 15.5-foot Stabby, it's hugely overkilled. in terms of what we've got.
What? Why is it? Why did you go that?
Because I saw a guy once at Point Road Night when they were trying to get in a 6 metre boat, and it snapped, and the D shackle went straight through his quad, and he's had problems with his walking ever since. So I've got that in my head, as just the absolute no-no. What we always do, we always wet a towel and put it over the cable whenever we're dragging something up, or even when we're winching it up if it's under sort of heavy strain, because that will actually shock absorb the wire.
Yep.
if it ricochets and launches. So we do that quickly. But once again, when you're on the sand, particularly soft sand, that is wet, the longer that your car is in one position and the engine's on and everything's sort of vibrating, the quicker that it will start to sink. So you've just got to be efficient, I think, is the most important one.
My answer for that is, after hearing that leg incident, head to a local boat ramp.
Matt Kalaja. Kalaja?
Kalaja.
Kalaja. While fishing in Port Phillip Bay for snapper, when is sea lice more active? Is it on a full moon or a new moon? You've had a bit of experience at different stages with sea lice.
I hate sea lice.
Diving.
Oh, I hate sea lice.
When's been the big issues that you've had with them?
New moon. It's always new moon. A way to avoid them a little bit, it's not going to help you, is fishing the big tide. So when it's dark, the sea lice come out. But if you can fish the bigger tide at night, they're less active.
Yep.
Those slow tides, for instance, doesn't matter. I'm more talking Southern Port Phillip Bay, but if you're in Corio Bay or whatnot in the sea, and you're in no tide or water, you're stuffed anyway on a new moon. Full moon, there won't be any sea lice. So the closer you get to the full moon, there'll be a lot less. There still might be a few, but nowhere near the new moon. The new moon is prolific. They're out of control.
Chris Doolan, with the kingfish season soon to start, what is your favourite method for catching them as opposed to the most productive method? Well, I think for mine, it's surface lures.
Yep.
It's the most fun casting for them. They're the most temperamental fish of all time. It's so annoying to fish for. Yours?
Oh, I'm a dirty bait fisherman. I love live baiting them. I don't think it's much better watching your rod you're just watching it and it loads up and it sort of looks like, I call it the backwards bite, where it starts to goes because the weight gets lifted from the kingfish and all of a sudden you see it start to load, then all of a sudden it hooks and just screams off. I don't think it's much better. Also, getting a hit on a surface lure is awesome fun too. Oh, anything with kingfish, I think.
We spoke to Gwayne Blake last week. He spoke about surface temperatures and water temperatures and when we're going to start to see them come in. We're seeing good numbers at the moment being caught off and through Sydney Harbour. They're not massive fish, but they're in quite prolific numbers. When are you going to spend more time on actually chasing them? Because you're not generally going to waste a day when you haven't heard reports or that temperature isn't at the right number.
What you just said, waste a day, is pretty much sums it up how I sort of fish. So I target fish I'm going to catch. And I had this argument with Craig last week because I don't fish unless I'm going to catch. And it sounds dumb, but you got to remember, this is my job. It's sort of like going,
But how do you determine that whatever you're fishing for is catchable?
Yeah, it's all to the elements. And this is what we talked to on Salt Guy, back to Craig. So he said to me the other day, can we film the snapper on Wednesday? I said, no, it's blowing north wind. I had numerous mates fish north wind in the morning that did not catch a fish. The night before, I bagged on snapper with a southwest change. So it's following the elements to increase your catches. Whiting, dirty water, strong tide. Squid, clear water. Ocean, northerly wind, it's calm. You're not going to swing as much around. You're not going to fish out there in a 25 knot southerly because you can't. You're not going to catch fish. So it's about fishing this fish at the right time. It's like going to the supermarket, owning a supermarket, and not having any food there to sell for me. If it's not there to catch, I'm not going to make any money for my work. And that's how I fish, and it's how I'm teaching people to fish. Rather than going, I'm fishing for snapper on Saturday, and you've worked that week out 2 weeks ahead, it's about targeting things at the right time. Gwayne went down to Welshpool during the week to look for the kingfish. Didn't find any kingfish, found a hell of a lot of bait, reckons they won't be far behind. And I reckon that it's only the matter of a few weeks before the consistency is going to start to be there. But I won't go out and look for them until I used to make the reports. Now I sort of follow them a little bit more.
Yep.
As bad as it sounds. I don't follow them where they are. I will do the odd trip where I'll just randomly go out there and look for them what I'm trying to say is I will look for them if the conditions are going to line up for them to be there. But quite often that's when other people are catching them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if it's 18 degree water, it's all of a sudden it turns 18 degrees, I get a light northerly and the water's going to be blue, I will be looking for kingfish because I'm going to catch them. Does that make sense? It's not that I'm following the crowds. I'm fishing efficiently. So I'm not wasting time. And that's what I'm trying to teach people. Like, yeah, like during the week, I did the gummies offshore. I got my calamari and got my whiting all in a few hours. So that's how we sort of target the fish these days with Salt Guide, to teach people how to use their time as efficiently as possible for the days that they've got to fish.
I'm going to run out of time to answer this one, but I think it's something that we should definitely set up next week's episode around. Nathan McLean, seeing that the cray season has just started, what dive gear should I set myself up with? And do you scuba or free dive, Aaron? That's something that we'll focus on next week. You've done plenty of both.
We're going to answer this one? You've got time to answer it quickly?
No, we're going to focus a bit more on it next week, but just quickly, free dive or scuba when you're targeting them?
I scuba. Free diving is too hard for crays. Sometimes I spend 15 minutes trying to get a cray out and I can't hold my breath that long. But I haven't run it past the cats yet, but I'm hoping to get you in for a dive this year. Do you reckon you'll be allowed to come for a dive and come visit Bruce down the bottom?
I'm not interested in seeing Bruce. Anything with a decent size.
I'm more scared of what crays do to me, to my hands. They destroy my hands. That's how much they hurt. But you want to do a show next week? Cray diving show?
We'll do cray diving next week.
Nathan, you might win it next week.
All right. It's time for our winner for this week's Dometic CFX Ice Maker model. They're available right throughout, whether it be Anaconda, BCF, you name it. They're in just about every sort of outdoor store. We're giving away one every week. And congratulations to Brendan Geary. Mate, you've won yourself a Dometic CFX Ice Maker model. Congratulations. Make sure you continue to send in our questions, download your questions.
Oh, did you get to choose a winner?
Yeah, I did. You can do next week's.
Oh, you got 2 weeks in a row.
I might have had 3 weeks in a row. Make sure you send in your questions. If we answer it on the show and we announce you as the winner, you pick yourself up a brand new CFX made of about 1600 bucks,
There's only one left because I've taken four.
This is Real Adventures for BF Goodrich. They've made a lot of memories in their 150 years. Most importantly, driving you to create memories of your own.